Dr. David Cifu. He is Chairman and Herman J. Flax Professor of the Department of PM&R at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia, Chief of PM&R Services at the Richmond VA Med Center, Chief of PM&R Services of the VCU Health Systems. He is also the National Director of PM&R Services for the VA Health Administration System nationally. That's the entirety of all the VAs nationally. He's had 27 research grants, more than $25 million in total. He's widely published hundreds of lectures. He's also a past president of the Academy, as is one or two of the other speakers here. And he's a very dynamic gentleman, so here he is.
Thank you. Do I get my own slides? Is that what is this, self-service? Okay, I'm all over it. I got it. Okay. Can I give Joel's talk? Okay, here I go. Yes. I've been asked to talk to you about careers in inpatient rehabilitation. As Marty's slide just showed, about 31% of folks that are just out of their residency are doing inpatient. There's a lot of reasons for that, but I think probably the biggest reason is that they're ready-made jobs, ready-made salaries, not a lot of, yes, you have to think a lot, but not a lot of outside stress in terms of, I got to set all these things up. So that's why a lot of folks, when they first start off, evolve to it. Usually, they spend a couple of years there, then get excited about some other venue in medicine in terms of outpatient care. But by the time they're 40 to 45, they start coming back and recognizing how wonderful inpatient is. And so I'm going to convince you that it's a wonderful place to start and hopefully finish. I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about the working for the VA, which is one of the things that I do as well, and it's just fantastic. I do have to start off by telling you that if you don't watch Glee, all right, Fox Wednesday nights, you cannot get into PM&R. All right. I just did a lecture to 65 students at VC at my university, and every one of them spoke Glee. All right. They could do all the things. So you have to do it. I'm not kidding. All right. So please start watching the show. There is a gentleman in a wheelchair who's part of the cast. That's not why. It's just a great show. So I'll just leave it at that. I may make some Glee references because I'm living Glee right now in my head. So please excuse those, but it's wonderful. What we're going to talk about is looking at inpatient care, looking at the VA and other things. I've been doing this for a little while, and what I'm speaking of is what I've been doing my career, so I'm not just reading it from a textbook. The wonderful things that I have in my life and career are because I chose to go down this route. Unbelievable lifestyle, great paycheck, great family situations because I have lots of free time, but also an amazing clinical interactions. I have just wonderful patients, get to spend lots and lots of time with them, go through their short-term rehab, but also the rest of their lives with them. Very rewarding. So that study that said that docs don't get to spend enough time with their patients, if you're in academics and you're doing inpatient rehab, you have no problems with it. It's wonderful. And the other folks are going to tell you that as well for what they do, but I'll just tell you that there's not a downside to doing that. What's so great about it, there's no limit to the number of acutely and chronically disabled people that this country will generate. Many reasons. We eat like horses. We think that everything in the world should be done for folks that aren't going to probably have, quote, normal lives again. So they're there. We have aging folks. The population is aging, as we're very well aware. Unfortunately, we have folks that want to continue to fight wars, so we have lots and lots of returning veterans and service members who have injuries. There's going to be no limit to the number of patients. So any study you read, well, what's it going to be like in 2050 or 20, whatever, there's going to be plenty of patients for it. Also, inpatient care I particularly enjoy because it isn't just about taking care of one diagnosis, all right, or one patient type. I do a lot of traumatic brain injury work, but we get 15-year-olds with traumatic brain injury. We get 90-year-olds. I do a lot of work with the returning Iraqi and Afghan service members, so we're seeing a lot of variety there. If you do stroke care, strokes range, sadly. I live in Virginia, which is the stroke belt because everybody eats lots of pork and is huge. So we have 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds with strokes. And then in our private sector, we're getting 70-year-olds, just a diverse population. I do a lot of work with Parkinson's, too. And that's another patient population that's diverse. It's intellectually stimulating. The money flow is very nice. People pay for this care. That's not going to go away because older people are in Congress. Their parents are. This is no joke. That's how things happen. That's how you get reimbursed. All right. Now, what we need to do is a couple of congressmen that have a lot of low back pain and need injections, and maybe they'll understand the long-term funding needs for that. But they're all having strokes and Parkinson's, you know. So we're okay. All right. And 85% of Congress members have stock in nursing home. That's public. All right. 85%. They get it. They understand what the future is. So rehabilitation is absolutely in the future. And I think it's great. I mean, I wish everybody was thin and didn't have any disability. It ain't going to happen. All right. You know, so there's going to be a role for us, which is terrific. There isn't a lot of competition for inpatient care outside of PM&R. Obviously, there's some competition in different cities just within the PM&R folks. But there aren't a lot of disciplines that have been able to get into this other than PM&R. Neurology hasn't been able to break through in a big way. Rheumatology tried for a while, orthopedics. They've got their own things that are keeping them busy. So we're pretty well off that way. The move to nursing home-based care and for some patients has caused a little bit of what could have been competition with geriatricians, but geriatricians are so cool. They don't compete with anything. They just love their patients, and they're just great colleagues. I've done a number of work in nursing homes. I was the medical director of a nursing home, and it's a fun place to work. There are some challenges, uniqueness to going to nursing home. Some of you may have a bad flavor or smell in your head from a nursing home, but it's a great. I love working with 90-year-olds and 100-year-old folks. They really are appreciative. They have a nice pace to their lives. There's a ton you can offer them. So that's been one area that's been a little bit of growth, and there was some trepidation, but it's wide open. And geriatricians love having PM&R docs or physiatrists work with them in the nursing homes. But we've got, in our town, we've got probably 20 nursing homes, and any nursing home that we have approached has invited us to be part of their programming. And again, the reimbursement is wonderful for that. And I think importantly, it's a captive business. You don't got to go. You know, you don't got to go market like crazy. There's some marketing, but the hospital is able to do that for you. So you actually just get to take care of patients. Yes, you got to hustle a little and see some consults, bring them down. You got to make sure you're moving them through your system. But it's a lot easier than having to market and compete. Again, particularly in an academic world, all right. I would tell you, academics rocks. All right, it's just fantastic, folks. All right, at all levels. Within inpatient, there's plenty of opportunity to subspecialize. You can be the specialist in spinal cord injury in an academic world, and that's what you do. It's not my bag, but I mean, I like to do a diverse clinical practice and research practice, but certainly you can do that. So if you really are fixated, I want to be the guy who fixes, you know, Christopher Reeve's generation or spinal cord, I mean, you can do that, all right? And you develop a passion, it's fantastic. I would 100% advocate to you when you start off, don't quite go be there. You know, take a step back, take a chill pill, and really want to provide care across the spectrum. I would not super specialize early on. And again, in academic world, it's time to do lots of teaching. Teaching is fantastic. I mean, hopefully you've got some mentors in your medical schools that you think are wonderful teachers. It's such a rush. Whether you're teaching students, other faculty members, residents, et cetera, patients, families, a lot of flexibility in terms of time. Here's a typical day. People seem to care about this. You know, I mean, I get in around 8. I leave before 5. It's very nice. You know, I don't eat lunch. It's more of a weight thing than anything else. But I can do it in 40 hours pretty easily. A lot of inpatient folks in the private sector are putting in 60. Some in academics, probably not a lot. But you can put as many hours as you like, all right? And you make incrementally more money with more hours, but, you know, unless they're paying me 10 times more after 5, I don't want to be there, all right? And so there is some trade-off, though. But in inpatient, you have that flexibility. In outpatient, you certainly may as well. There's a lot of time to see patients, but also plenty of time to do teaching, to commune with your staff and to work with your team. So it's kind of pleasant. Salary is very variable. depending on what kind of academic program you're in, whether you're inpatient, whether you're doing private setting or academics. It can be a lot of variability. For every bed that you run, you can bring in about $10,000 in salary. So you got to be thinking about that. There's also different stipends. But to me, the money's nice. But, you know, and you all have big debts, and I get that. But long range, you're all going to make enough money to have wonderful lives. So you need to make sure what you do is your passion, and it's your lifestyle. And you understand where your family is and your outside activities, not just the cash flow. You're gonna, even though you got $1 million in debt, you can pay it off. Trust me, you'll make plenty of money. It's not about that. But the other benefits of being in from an inpatient standpoint are listed here, and there's just a lot of pluses. Call schedules are very easy, and yet I take care of people with acute medical problems, and which is kind of a cool thing, you know. Like I did this whole medical school thing, you know, maybe you heard of it, and then I did a residency, and I still take care of people with diabetes and pulmonary embolus, and it's fun. You'll get to that point. Right now you're thinking, what does that mean and stuff, and oh, that's cool. But it's just nice to be a doctor. I like to be able to go to my family activities and they actually understand I'm a doctor. All right. And so inpatient kind of gives you some of that. All PM&R doctors are doctors, but it's kind of cool to be doing that, particularly when you have great residents who actually do most of the work. It's wonderful. Finishing off here from a VA standpoint, I'm the national director for the VA for all PM&R, so I've got a vested interest in recruiting people to come into the VA system. It's the largest managed care system in the United States. It's not quite the largest in the world. I think Britain's got the largest managed care in the world. But lots and lots of patients and visits, and with every time there's a war, lots and lots of new patients. There are 1.8 folks that have been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. As of a week ago, about 400,000 have returned, are in the VA system now, but that means there's going to be another 1.4 or so that'll be coming into the VA system, and with them come clinical opportunity, challenges, and also resources that go with them. So the VA is alive and well. Currently, we have 550 physiatrists who work there. The average age is my age, which is kind of cool. It's 47, and they've been working there about 10 years. Just under half are female. Lots of therapists who work for the VA as well. It's a big employer in the rehab world. In the VA system, it's not just inpatient. It's the full range. I'm focusing on inpatient care in the VA. It's a fantastically interesting area. In our shop, we get almost primarily folks that are injured in Iraq. They're all still active duty, so it's a little different than other VAs, but lots of things occurring in the VA, large amputee network, a lot of spinal cord injury care there, brain injury, growing musculoskeletal, both interventional and non, tons of resources for prosthetics. You know, any prosthetic, any artificial limb that you see on any TV show, we can get in the VA, and it's paid for. Robotics, any cool thing, you know, that is the resources are there. The VA really supports very strongly prosthetic care. The new secretary of the VA who just started, Secretary Shinseki, is a below-knee amputee, so there's going to be lots of resources. People go to what they know. I need to wrap it up. Okay, and long term. Salaries in the VA are less than in the academic or private sector, but if you look at dollar per hour, it's comparable. Wonderful benefits in the VA as well. Lots of teaching, lots of research opportunities, lots of time off. Lifestyle is fantastic. And importantly, you're doing it for the right reason. You know, I mean, if there's anybody out there who's been in active duty or is or veteran, I salute you and I appreciate your service. It's something that I don't know that I could do, all the sacrifice that they're making. And so make sure you thank everybody that you see in any airport is wearing the uniform or is at this academy. It's truly something we need to praise. But this is the reason that you work for the VA for the underlying. So thank you, and look forward to working with you on the panel.